Hi, this is Natalie Lander, voice of Kinsey, Tara Branford, Stargirl, and many others. You are listening to a W2Mnet podcast. You can visit W2Mnet.com for other podcasts about entertainment, video games, sports, and wrestling. You are listening to Video Games to the Max.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Games of the Decade. And now we're actually doing this. The top 100. We sort of have it almost made as far as we know what the 100 games are. We have to order them. But man, it's been such a challenge to get to this, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm just happy to just, now we can just rank this, and we got through the difficult part, so I'll explain how we did that in just a second. If you listen to our Last Chance rankings, you'll know that we put 38 more games back on the list, per se, and then we did a, where the five of us that were on the podcast went through and did a 1 to 138 ranking. And 38 games were eliminated to get where we are right now. Unfortunately, we are two people short from the last couple of podcasts, as Randy wanted to watch the college football playoff game that, you know, it's once a year. It's college's Super Bowl, so don't blame him. And Daniel Anderson is working, so I'm here. Sean Garmer, your host. And as always, with me here, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
And also here, Jens Dietrich.
Hello, hello.
So, all right, guys. Just to, you know, because we always seem to have to give other games a shot. We just can't go with what we got. Let's go round robin. Two games, up to two games that you would like to give one more shot to put back in to the 100, and then obviously you got to discuss what game or games you would want to remove.
Right. So yeah, of the 38 that were cut.
Yeah. So, oh, I should read these out, even though I'm sure no one will remember by the time I get to the, I get to the 38, but I should probably read these out. So, and no, I'm going from bottom to the, so I'm going from 138 to 101, if you're looking at it that way. Night in the Woods, Octodad, Deadliest Catch, Stellaris, Metal Gear Solid, Rising Revengeance, Crusader Kings 2, Pokemon Go, Beat Saber, Binary Domain, Deadly Premonition, Plants vs. Zombies, Hellblade, Until Dawn, PT, Witcher 2, Xenoblade Chronicles X, Endless Legend, Sleeping Dogs, Doki Doki Literature Club, Rayman Legends, Alien Isolation, Everything, Cities Skylines, Rock Band 3, Doom, Gone Home, The Stanley Parable, Splatoon, Yakuza 6, Song of Life, Rainbow Six Siege, Gears of War 3, Bioshock Infinite, you're hearing that right, Bioshock Infinite did not make the list, No Man's Sky, Nioh, Watch Dogs 2, Kerbal Space Program, StarCraft 2, L.A. Noir, and the last one that didn't make it was Tricky Towers.
Shame.
Yes, it is a shame. So, all right. Out of those 38 games that I named, go ahead and give me one, Jens, that you would like to put back on the list.
I'm going to choose Crusader Kings 2 because I think it's extremely notable. It's a, you know, strategy game slash historical sim that allows you to simulate essentially a legacy, a royal legacy of, you know, whatever European country that you choose through history, kind of deal with the court intrigue, deal with the big wars. Like, it's a game that simulates kind of everything from your global geopolitical situation down to finding a wife for your heir or backstabbing a pope or, you know, whatever you want to do. So the amount of emergent gameplay is tremendous. The amount of depth is tremendous. And just as impressive is what the mod community has done with it. You know, they've taken the framework of Crusader Kings 2 and they've applied it to all manner of things, you know, Game of Thrones, other historical events, sci-fi settings. Anyway, there's just, it's a forever game that, like, if you were stuck on the desert island and you needed something that you could get basically kind of endless, unique content out of, Crusader Kings would be your game.
All right, absolutely Mark. No actual gameplay whatsoever.
I mean, that is an absurd thing to say. The gameplay is managing your family and your kingdom and your relationships and every little aspect of trade and war. And I mean, I don't know what else you want. I mean, it's a...
You could argue
it has the most gameplay.
Not gameplay in a menu or a spreadsheet.
Okay, well, that's just that you don't like the style of game. That's fair, but I think it deserves to be on the list. Mark, what's your choice for, in our round robin, what's your first game you want to put back in?
I say Endless Legend. It's a 4X game. There are no other 4X games on this list. I think it's a fun genre, and I think it's a really fun game. Like, good economy, really great art style, good music, a lot of different civilizations that, like, are very actually different from one another. Like, you have to deal with, like, weather in the game. Yeah, it's just a whole lot of fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you actually have some units to deal with some combat.
It did look good from what you showed me.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Sean?
Well, for me, my first choice is to put back in Doki Doki Literature Club, because, yeah, it's an indie game that you go into it thinking you're just playing this visual novel with anime, and then all of a sudden, rather quickly, turns out that it is not what you think it is, and it has the total, just absolute twist that will make you go crazy. Perhaps make your computer go crazy too. Yeah. While it's at it.
Screw up your computer, screw up your mind. It's a mindfuck game.
Yeah. Just absolutely love that. So, gotta put it back in. Go, Jens, what is your second game?
I'm gonna pick Kerbal Space Program. Just because, you know, it's a spaceship building sim. It's an engineering sim. It has transcended the realm of games to become, you know, a thing in the larger culture that is used for teaching. It's, you know, there are science articles written about it. It's actually got the amount of stuff that it simulates about, space travel and how to build an effective spaceship that can actually get you to another planet is actually, despite the fact that it's very cartoony, it is a remarkably realistic game in a lot of ways and has been recognized for that. So I think it deserves to be on the top 100 because I think it is historically significant. I think it's in the Smithsonian. I think they've got Kerbal on display in the Smithsonian on one of the, in the games sections where they've put notable games. So.
Wow. Mark?
I have plans for Zombies. I think it's a really great little, tower defense game. Simple, but addictive. Really colorful graphics and, like, personality. They ruined the franchise with all their DLC crap and all their shooters that no one cares about. But I still think that first game is, like, one of PopCap's best.
Yeah. The reason I like Plants vs. Zombies over most other tower defense games is just it's the right level of complexity. Like, you don't have to worry about fending off things from every direction or managing a big map. It's really just, here's a couple of lanes. And while it gets hectic, it is always manageable.
Yeah, like even like the boss fights in the game are still pretty simple. Like as long as you have adequately upgraded your stuff and haven't screwed around too much.
I mean, it's not a super easy game, but like in terms of complexity, it doesn't overwhelm you. And there's kind of a rock, paper, scissors mechanic to all the items that you can use. So you kind of got to choose the right things for the right zombies and, that's really good. It's really well designed.
Yeah.
And for the final pick, I'm going to, you know, I think we should have a music game in our list. And unfortunately,
I don't agree.
Unfortunately, both the major music games are in the eliminated section. So, you know, I think if you're thinking about right now, Beat Saber is really that major music game. But I think where it fails is where you want your music game to be at its highest, and that's the soundtrack. And that's why Rock Band 3, for me, is an ultimate talk about soundtracks for all the video games. Yes, it's cheating. It's almost like picking Smash Brothers Ultimate as a, you know, your soundtrack. That's just like the soundtrack of everything, Nintendo and other video games. Rock Band 3 has licensed music that after Wazoo from almost anybody you can think of. And I mean, that it helps to have the other previous games to include in that as well. But Rock Band 3 had its own fantastic soundtrack just on its disc, not to mention the DLC that came after. And, you know, adding the piano was a huge deal. It brought in people that necessarily didn't ever want to play those games, but you add in that piano instrument, and I think you had a different kind of player that wanted to come in, and a lot of female rockers that all of a sudden wanted to play. Because the piano's there, and you had the three-part harmonies that was introduced in Beatles Rock Band that got put in this game that made singing even more fun than it already was. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So now we have to decide the six games that we're going to remove. And you know what's... I thought
about this. Yeah. We've got a lot of redundancies here in terms of series. Like, we can just cut some of these other... Yeah. We can keep a representative game and just cut some of these others.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's funny as you and I kind of voted that way, looking at it and saying, okay, well, we don't need all these sequels or all these, you know, first games. Let's kind of get a lot of them out of there to put other games in the list. You know, the other, you know, Mark and the other two guys didn't necessarily vote that way. So this is kind of why this list is, you know, the ones that got eliminated is kind of wacky. So yeah, I think that might be the best way to handle it. Cause do you really need, say, both Tomb Raiders or both the Xenoblades, or, you know?
We've got multiple Far Cries here. So out of Far Cry 3 or 4, which one do we cut?
4.
Okay. What's your justification for this, Mark?
I like Voss. Even though they do him wrong in Far Cry 3, he's probably a better character than Pagan Man.
I'm going to make a briefcase for 4 over 3. I feel like 4 is more open. It does not limit you in campaign missions as far as like putting invisible barriers up that prevent you from approaching them in whatever way you want. And generally the story is just executed better. Like it actually kind of carries all the way through the end in a satisfying way. Whereas Far Cry 3 just, to me, falls apart in the third act and devolves into ridiculous mysticism and terrible choices. So, I recognize.
As opposed to the tattoo from Far Cry 4.
I mean, okay, so it's a way of Ubisoft to keep that element in there, but it's in a much more reduced way. Like, I really didn't like any of that stuff in 3, but I do also recognize that 3 kind of innovated the series, and, you know, Far Cry 2 was a very divisive game, so Far Cry 3 kind of split the difference and gave it mainstream appeal. So I can see the argument for it. Both of them have really great, you know, outpost design and combat design. So they feel really good. So in that regard, they're both great games. But out of the two, what do you think, Sean? Do you want to break this tie?
I'd go for Far Cry 3.
Okay.
Myself.
Fair enough. I'll relent. All right. We don't need two Assassin's Creeds.
Brotherhood is better. I mean, Assassin's Creed 4 is a better game, I think, but Assassin's Creed Brotherhood is like a perfect distillation of that franchise and okay, like the most pure gameplay mechanics of it.
So the argument against Brotherhood is that it's just a slight iteration on 2. However, I think the argument...
Yeah, but the argument of 4 is it's an iteration on 3.
Right, but it's a bad iteration on 3, right? Like,
well, I mean, 3 was bad, so...
No, yeah, it's a good one. Like, I mean, they fixed 3 a Okay. There's problems, but.
Sorry. I mean, it's a bad iteration compared to Brotherhood. Like, Brotherhood, to me, the argument for it is that it's a real well-playing Assassin's Creed game that has the verticality and the mission design that you want from an Assassin's Creed, whereas the only thing I liked in 4 was the ship combat, and that's, you know, kind of a new addition, which is really, really good, but it's not traditionally... Like, if you're looking for a game that is representative of Assassin's Creed 3, then I agree it should be Brotherhood.
Assassin's Creed, the series, not 3.
Oh, sorry. Gosh.
I don't think you want Assassin's Creed 3 representing anything. So.
No, I want Assassin's Creed... I've not thought about Assassin's Creed 3 in a very long time, and I don't really want to anymore, so...
I mean, I'm actually kind of replaying it, so...
I don't know what is wrong with you.
On Switch, but, or just...
No, on PS4.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, Brotherhood it is, then.
Do we need both Fire Emblems?
I mean, no, Awakening, obviously, is the lesser one.
The good one.
They're both great. They're both great games.
I mean, yeah, you wouldn't have Fire Emblem Three Houses without Awakening, but... Yeah.
The argument for Awakening is that it, again, it's the one that made Fire Emblem big, and it's a more traditional Fire Emblem. So if you're looking for something that's like representative of Fire Emblem as a whole, Awakening is closer. But I love the way that Three Houses iterates on the formula. I love all the new stuff they added. I love the social, the focus on the social links, the focus on the more Persona-like elements, and simplifying the combat system, getting rid of the rock, paper, scissors kind of triangle mechanics. So yeah, I feel Three Houses is the one. Even though Awakening is a fantastic game. I mean, to me, one of the 100 best games of the last 10 years for sure, but, you know, this is a big list.
Yeah, I don't think we need both the Tomb Raiders.
So that's a difficult one, right? Because, you know, Tomb Raider, kind of a great return to form for the series, great story, great characterization. Her initial journey from, you know, being you know, a lost you know, young archaeologist to being a killing machine and dealing with, you know, her first kill and all that stuff, I thought was really compelling at the time.
Yeah, but
in
then,
the way
like,
that
after the first after you know she after she gets her first gun and goes, you know, she becomes murder machine.
It's true, that's like the first hour and a half of the game. That is true. But I still think like the story of Tomb Raider hangs together a lot better than Rise of the Tomb Raider. The thing in Rise of the Tomb Raider has actual tombs, probably bigger, better levels. So
yeah, I thought Tomb Raider's like the story of Tomb Raider 1, like her story is decent, but the actual story of like trying to sacrifice her friend to appease some Asian weather witch was like nonsense.
It's way better than making it all about her dad again and having the evil mercenary group and all that stuff. I did not care for the Rise of the Tomb Raider story all that much. I thought the game was fantastic. But I don't know. I still think the first Tomb Raider is probably overall a better experience and a better entry point into the series.
Nah.
And
yeah,
again, it comes down to Sean.
I would also say Tomb Raider just from... This is one of those times where I think using the... That Tomb Raider started the whole thing. And, you know, I just like Laura's character more in the first Tomb Raider. And that's what I think of that Tomb Raider more. I know the tombs are important and everything, but I just like that first game more than the second one.
And Shadow of the Tomb Raider ended it all.
Not well, you know. Let's try to remember the good things.
Yep.
You know, I want to bring up a different perspective because, you know, I know Mark's going to go for the Dark Souls just to get one out of there. But I would say more closer to each other, but one of the Bayonettas, do we need both?
They're very similar.
Unlike Dark Souls, both games are actually good.
Yeah, but Dark Souls 2 iterates and perhaps changes Dark Souls 1 a bit to where Bayonetta 1 and 2, they're playing the same. Just, yeah, they're both great, but they're both, you know.
Yeah, but in Bayonetta 2, you can turn into Link and whatever stupid other Nintendo characters there are.
It's funny because I cut Bayonetta 2 from my list for that reason. but I'm so happy that it's somehow back on the list due to other people.
Yeah.
I would hate to lose it more. And I know I made the case of, like, Dark Souls is a significantly different Souls game than... I mean, Dark Souls 2 is a significantly different Souls game than Dark Souls 1. But I guess I can bite the bullet and cut Dark Souls 2, make Mark happy.
Not completely happy. That'll happen when Dark Souls 1 is also cut eventually.
No, that's not going to happen.
No, fact, Dark Souls 1 won't get cut.
Yeah. So, I'm okay with that. I would hate to. I just think Bayonetta 2 is absolutely incredible. And
I think it's incredible to be, like, that it was on the Wii U. Like, and that it really worked well on there.
That's true.
I mean, it was a great Wii U game. I mean, to be fair, it's exactly the same as Bayonetta 1 in terms of art style and graphical fidelity. So, and that was a last-gen game, so it's not actually that surprising. It's not even really a lateral move. I mean, I guess it is a lateral move. The Wii U is ever so slightly, maybe it's a little slightly more powerful. Anyway, the amount of spectacle generated by both Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2, though, on those systems is tremendous. I'm saying tremendous a lot. Word of the day, I guess.
Okay, I would say that, you know, you can make a case for the Xenoblades, but they're two totally different games with two totally different cast of characters. One is not anything like the other.
So you want to keep Xenoblade 1 and 2 over Bayonetta 2?
That's what I would say, is that we're not talking about... I mean, the only other game you can make the case for is, like, the Uncharted's that continue the story, or the Red Dead's that continue the story. But there's so much separation between Red Dead 1 and 2.
It's not just story, though. If you were arguing, like, Xenoblade Chronicles 1 or 2 versus Xenoblade Chronicles X, then I think...
Yeah, that's why X didn't make it. Yeah.
Well, X didn't make it, but, I mean, X probably should be... I guess I've wasted my two games. I haven't wasted, but I would probably put X on here instead of one of the other Xenoblades, just because of it being a significantly different one, but of similar quality. But okay, so you want to keep both Xenoblades and cut Bayonetta 2? I'm not that.
Unless you want to cut one of the other
Bayonetta.
Unless you want to cut one of the other ones that have, they follow the story, but they have similar gameplay as well. You know?
I mean, Uncharted 3 or 4. Probably Uncharted 3, because I didn't play that one.
Well,
I would say Uncharted 4 is better.
Which one?
I've enjoyed Uncharted 4 a lot more than 3.
I like 3 better, but it sounds like I'm outvoted on this. If it means keeping these other games on here, I'd be happy if cutting an Uncharted. Also, Uncharted 3 ranks lower, so that's an argument.
Okay, so we got the 6, then.
Okay, so let's move Uncharted off this list.
Oh, Randy, yeah, if Randy was here, he'd be totally pissed.
he's not a big RPG guy. He's a big action or adventure guy.
Well, so. Uncharted is like one of his favorite series, so yeah, I think.
Well, he decided football is more important, so...
Well, he still gets 4. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. He's got his priorities straight. He's
stuck to be him, yeah.
Well, all right. Well, so Uncharted 3 is off the list, and I'm going to put Xenoblade. Okay, here's Xenoblade. Let's see. Where even is it?
What? X?
No, I'm looking for...
Well, Xenoblade 1 and 2 are in the 90s.
Just control F it.
You can make a case for...
That's not going to work with how this...
No, we'll just leave that alone, because we're not doing those rankings on this show anyway. Which I should have mentioned that all we're doing is 100 to 76 on this show. So, yeah, we can just leave that alone for now.
And that totally does work, because that's how I did my list.
Well, we've currently got Xenoblade Chronicles 1 and 2 at 90 and 91. We should probably...
They both probably should move.
Yeah, they're both going to move up, so I'm just going to move both of them up. And then we'll deal with where they should be ranked on a later program.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our six. So now we need to look at our bottom 25 and see which of those bottom 25 are going to move up or down. I'm going to read that from 100 upwards. So we've got PUBG, Return of the Obra Dinn, Detroit Become Human, Dragon Ball FighterZ Z, Fire Emblem Awakening we got rid of. Okay, Life is Strange
would Papers, wind please. Up in that spot.
Yep, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, Xenoblade Chronicles we've moved, Dragon Quest XI, Luigi's Mansion 3, The Remains of Edith Finch, Far Cry 3, Bioshock 2, Untitled Goose Game, Forza Horizon, South Park The Stick of Truth, Cuphead, Hearthstone, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Saints Row the Third, Wolfenstein The New Order, Halo Reach, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and Walking Dead Season 1. Okay, so what of these is going to move up and ascend to a higher realm? Who's going to go to the Heaviside Lair?
definitely think you got to move Assassin's Creed up some.
Mm-hmm. I mean that, Dragon Ball, and then Saints Row 3.
Now how about, I feel like Limbo and... I don't know. I personally am not a Hearthstone fan, but I guess you could make an argument for Hearthstone.
I think it needs to be a bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
It's the card game that made everything after it wanted to be Hearthstone and still hasn't really been able to. Yes, it's...
What are you talking about, man? Artifact is going strong on Steam right now.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, what did you have before that? Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is coming out with games on the GBA? I mean, like, and Magic had their Planeswalkers thing.
Yeah, I would say Magic's probably the biggest one.
But, yeah, I mean, they made it viable for you to think that you can have digital card games and make it a thing. Like, I don't know that you take Gwent out of Witcher and make it a card game if Hearthstone didn't.
Well, I mean, they tried. It kind of failed.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, not everything works. Obviously, you know, what you just said, Artifact, they tried to make that a thing. It didn't work. But then, you know, Dota 2 Chess works for them. So they... Auto Chess, I should say. But not all spinoffs are a thing of Magic all the time.
Are created equal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got Cuphead, Tokyo Mirage, and Saints Row. All right. I think I've taken everything out of our temporary list. So now let's talk about what moves. Do you guys want to start at the bottom? Like, what's our bottom 100?
I think you could put Detroit at 100.
That makes sense to me. I mean, we've got to put one David Cage game on here, and that's probably the best one. It's got the least offensive quick time events. It's got a story that doesn't fall completely apart by the end.
So only even like though 80, it's only like 85%, so he's improving.
Presentation's really great. You know, it's got excellent acting. I mean, they've all got good acting, but yeah, this is probably for representation's sake. I like this at 100. Mark, you're a big Detroit fan. Do you want to say anything about Detroit?
It has a beautiful, beautiful Clancy Brown in it.
Ah, so Clancy Brown.
Number one.
Clancy Brown. That's the reason.
Oh. Yep.
I mean, we do love Clancy Brown. Clancy Brown's...
He was the Kurgan. What more do you want?
Extreme Prejudice. That's my Clancy Brown recommendation for the day.
But yeah, it's good gameplay. The story is what it is, I guess, but I like the world a lot. I think they could actually do more if they really wanted to.
And of course, we know you're in love with the menu android.
Yeah, she's pretty hot. Mm. I don't even think she has a name, but I like the actress quite a bit. She was good in that little role, even though I don't think it was her voice.
Cool. All right, this next thing might sound crazy, but so even though it's kind of the swan song for Bungie and Halo and a beloved event, I think Reach can probably go like near the bottom of the list, like maybe even 99.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, but definitely could go lower.
Reach could go lower?
No, I'm saying Reach could go that low from its spot at 76 or wherever it is to start.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
And
I think you can make the case
high.
That Wolfenstein New Order as well could drop some too.
So Wolfenstein, of course, you know, really important game, turned Wolfenstein from a little B franchise into a AAA franchise that people cared about again.
Yeah.
And it's just really good. But yeah, those two, despite being really competent shooters, I just don't think they're that remarkable in the great scheme of things. There's a lot of other games in their series.
I don't know, but you could certainly make the case for both being still maybe the best ones as far as telling the story.
Well, ODST has...
ODST more than ODST for sure.
Yeah,
I like ODST. I like the hub. I like the jazz. It's got things that I prefer, but Reach is kind of the most epic one. But I just don't see a Halo game... Like, to me, it's already, you know, this is like the tail end of what Halo was. So,
oh, yeah, because 4 and especially 5 did not hit those heights again.
Okay, so I've got to put Crusader Kings. I've got to put Crusader Kings somewhere.
Well, around that area.
I mean, I could probably, to me, Crusader Kings is probably like in the top 50. But I just know I'm the only person who cares about it much.
If we find another person that really loves Crusader Kings and looked at that in the top 50 and said, what in the world is this? That's probably the reaction of like 99% of the people that would listen to this podcast. So, not to mention when we do the written part, if anybody that reads that and knows what Crusader Kings 2 is, that, you know, I think they deserve some kind of gift or something.
That's crazy. It struck me like there was a time where Crusader Kings, at least in the PC realm, was huge. But yeah, you know what though? Randy isn't here and can't fight me on this, so I'm still going to put it above PUBG.
That's fine. You can put PUBG at 99 and then put Crusader Kings at 98, and then you put the other two.
I don't know. So, question. PUBG over Wolfenstein or over Halo? Or, like, do we... Yeah. I would actually be okay with flipping those.
No, I think PUBG is too important for that.
Too important? It's the original Battle Royale that gave us Tetris 99.
I don't know that is what gave you Tetris 99. But
unfortunately,
sure.
It also gave us Fortnite. But
okay. So maybe
say PUBG spawned Fortnite, which then spawned the other.
No, I mean
Battle Royales.
You can't.
If Fortnite had not been successful, there wouldn't have been any other Battle Royales after that.
Fair enough. I was surprised by like the thing that impresses me about PUBG is more like how it came to be. You know, it started out as a mod for, I guess, Arma. And it's like a tiny little indie developer that made it, and it got it just kind of built like a groundswell of cult hype over time. So I think it deserves to be here, probably above. Let's put it between Crusader Kings 2 and Wolfenstein. All right. I feel like Walking Dead is really high.
It is too high.
75, way too high. Where would you put that, Sean?
We could put it down there, too. I do not think it is. I mean, the story is still impactful, especially if you haven't played it at all. But I think you also have to have a bit of a connection to The Walking Dead, the show, as well. I mean, it's not like Wolf Among Us, where I think you can walk in, not know anything about those characters, and enjoy that. I think Walking Dead, you have to have an attachment to that, and also just, I think Lee and Clementine are great, but it's just like, man, the rest of that game just, it is kind of what it is.
You know? I think there are good characters in that game, but it just, like, the plot really does just kind of fall apart at a certain point. Mm. And, I mean, the game engine is kind of busted in how it handles actions. I mean, that game was, like, for its time, it was actually fairly passable, but, like, later action-heavy games, like Batman in particular,
really. Yeah, this really is before that engine really starts burning you.
I mean, I even had problems with that game. Like, that game, I had a save to chapter or to like episode 4.
Yeah, there was a corruption. There were some saves were corrupt at the time.
And I got lost like episode 2, so I had to like replay two episodes, and I'm like, this is not good.
Well, we can all agree the engine sucks, but I don't know if I agree that the story falls apart. I mean, that's Walking Dead season 1 is the only one of those games where, like, I mean, I cried at the end of that game. Like, it was genuine.
Oh yeah, definitely. That moment when it happens is.
I think the relationship between Lee and whatever her name is,
Clementine,
it's late here, is good. But like the whole Deus Ex Machina of like, oh, he's talking to this dude, and then like even if you make the choice of you don't want to steal the supplies, it still guides you in that direction, and then he's still pissed off at you. And it's like, huh? Like, I was the one who said we shouldn't do this, but then the group said it otherwise, so. Why are you blaming me?
The main thing we need to do that I care about is that we put Life is Strange above Walking Dead Season 1. Because we've currently got it below, and it's just a better version of the Telltale formula in pretty much every way. Like, graphically, better puzzles. Are we
putting it above Wolf Among Us as well?
I don't know, but...
I would say, well, I like Wolf Among Us more, just as a singular story. But I think Life is Strange is like the best of those types of games.
Okay.
Well, because it doesn't have the QTE bullshit of those games. You don't have to like do quick analog motions or do crap like that. Like, it's all very measured.
And the fact we want to move Wolf Among Us down some and put Life is Strange up.
Wolf Among Us is really high right now.
63. Yeah, it's like 50. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, but like, I don't know that game really needs to be that high either. You know, yeah, but still suffers from their engine problem.
Is Wolf Among Us in the bottom 25? Is the question, I guess.
I would say it doesn't suffer as bad. Like, because there aren't quite as many action sequences in that particular game. There are a few, and they can get occasionally gnarly, but they didn't have nearly as many problems as Batman or, Game of Thrones or...
Oh my god, it's just awful. Yeah. Tales from the Borderlands, I thought...
Yeah, Borderlands was cool, but, like, some of the sequences were really messy, especially, like, that racing sequence. It's like, no, I don't want to do this.
That did not work, nope.
All right, so let's start by moving Life is Strange up some, and then we'll put Walking Dead Season 1 kind of near the bottom of where we're currently making our list. Mark, where do you want to slot? You've got Endless Legends as your game you want to insert. Where do you want to slot that thing?
I mean, we could put it, you know, kind of wherever. Like, I mean, high 90s would be fine, or...
Mid-90s? High 90s?
Mid-90s. Okay. Like, I mean... No one else plays it because no one else ever plays PC games. So,
how about, is it better or worse than Walking Dead?
I mean, I would think it's better, but you can have it below.
Yeah, Walking Dead be on above it.
A tad more influential.
Yeah.
Sean, you think Walking Dead above Endless Legend? I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I would say that.
Okay. All right. Bioshock 2, way too high. What do you guys say?
Yeah, I think it's pretty high.
We've got it at 85. Now, all right, we've talked about Bioshock 2 before on previous shows, but let's just recount it. Mark, you're a big fan because you like the combat.
Good combat. The story is fine. Like, it doesn't have the shock of the first one, pardon the pun. But I think it's just a very decent, good story. Like I said, the combat's really good. I like the philosophical changes that happen in Rapture. Mm. Yeah.
I even liked the multiplayer, just because the combat was so improved from the first one. But what justifies its place on the list for me, just not as high as it is, but what justifies its place to me is Minerva's Den, because that to me is still the best Bioshock story. So I really like that, one of the greatest DLCs ever. But still, I still think it is probably pretty low on this list. Let's put it at, like, let's put it above Walking Dead for now and see if anything else goes below it or not. Where shall we put? We've got Resident Evil 7 really low. Wait, no, or do we?
Yeah, I mean, we do. It could probably go up a little bit.
It's at 92 right now, Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, you can go up a little bit.
Yeah, it's just I just feel it's kind of like the exemplar of that whole genre, you know, the Outlast, Amnesia, kind of first-person survival horror, and it's a good reset after 6.
Right. Like
they really kind of rethought that franchise in an interesting way. We know, of course, if Randy were here, he'd talk about what an incredibly scary VR experience it is.
No, it is an incredibly scary VR experience. I mean, what kind of stinks is that the story drops off in that back half. But the first two parts of that game are tremendous, and just the all that main family that you're battling against for the whole story is actually really well done. And yeah, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do we reshuffle next? We've got Luigi's Mansion 3. We've got Papers, Please.
I think Papers, Please could be in that, like, you know, upper 80s. So Luigi's Mansion 3 could go lower. I mean,
yeah,
it's a recent release. It's really good. It's a recent, you know.
Mark, you've played it. Like, I mean, it's a great Luigi's Mansion game, clearly. But
well, it's the only one I've played. I just like it because it has very different settings. Like, most of the hotel floors offer something new and like a very distinct different setting.
Would you be okay if... Oh, so go on.
No, it's fine. I mean, yeah, just good ghostbusting action.
Where would you put it, Mark?
Plus, Luigi he's a plumber. What more do you want?
I love Luigi as a character.
The only problem is he can't jump, which is really weird.
He doesn't get freaked out like Luigi.
Yeah. Like, 90s is fine. Like, 90s. No.
Let's do high 90s. We'll move it just above Bioshock for now. And then I want to put Life is Strange there just because we already talked about it, but I just want it to be above Walking Dead. Currently it's at 95, which is below where we have Walking Dead, which is not good.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. So Life is Strange is now at 91, so it's been elevated a bit. Since we're doing adventure games, Papers, Please. Just to describe what that is, it's who's the guy?
Lucas Pope.
Lucas Pope, yes. Mm. He did Papers, Please and Return of Obra Dinn, represented twice in our list. But yeah, Papers, Please, kind of his first, the game that put him on the map.
First Cart Life?
Oh no, you're right, Cart Life. Gosh.
You're right about putting him on the map. It was the game that made people take notice of who he is.
I mean, I remember Cart Life had buzz. Cart Life had enough buzz that, like, I was convinced to buy it and play it for, like, an hour and then give up on it. But Papers, Please somehow, you know, the gameplay where it's really just about comparing documents and then making decisions and either tragic or hilarious or heartwarming consequences that can emerge out of that. I just thought it was a really unique, really compelling thing. So, I'm going to put it above Life is Strange. I am not sure how I haven't played Oberdin, so I don't know if Oberdin is better or worse than
Oberdin's better. It's he gets to have a lot more freedom in this game in order and how it's basically a very grandiose whodunit, and it very well challenges you to get your pen and paper out there and have to write stuff down because you're not going to remember it all. There's so much going on, so many different people you have to remember what happened to them, when did it happen, exactly. You're like, you're rewinding time and going through and finding out what happened as a insurance adjuster and finding out how much money each of these families are supposed to receive from the untimely deaths of this entire crew. And it's just super interesting, and it's got that great art style, and it's got a really good soundtrack as well.
Man, so. I didn't realize you were an insurance adjuster in that game. Lucas Pope really loves his mundane. I want Lucas Pope to adapt the forensic certified public accountant and the cremated 64 square financial accounts. Like, he just has he seems to have a knack for that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay,
so I need to play that. I really need to play that game.
Same as Kojima, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, being a delivery boy, running a cart. I love that. I love the turning mundanity into something that is, relatable and interesting. All right, let's put Return of Oberdin above Papers, Please. But, this also seems like a good... We've got to put your... Let's see, what games haven't we...
Yeah, we haven't talked about Doki Doki.
Yes. Yes, we got to put Doki Doki somewhere. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, this is I'd want it to be higher, but I think we've got other games that perhaps,
Now, to be fair, we both love Doki Doki Literature Club, you and I, so yes. We could put it higher if we wanted to.
Yeah, like, I think for what it does for visual novels, and... Just being it, it's a free title, right? It's not, you're not paying a bunch of money for it. And for it to give you the twists and turns that it does, and also just, it has a good story as well. It's not just a game you're playing for the, oh my God, I want the wackiness. It's actually good at what it does too. So,
All right, how about this? If we put it above Life is Strange, then it would be, number one of the bottom 10, basically. It would be kind of the start. It would be at the top of the bottom 10.
All right, that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I'd want it to go higher, but again, you're also dropping other games more here, so...
Well, I mean, okay, so do you like it better than Oberdin? That's the real...
Oberdin was one of my favorite games of 2018. My favorite game.
We could put it above Papers, Please.
Yeah, do that.
Okay. There's no reason not to fine-tune. Yeah, that's I feel good about that. Between those, I'm always kind of looking at what the adjacent games are. Because I wanted
yeah, to make some kind of sense. You have this thing about you don't want the same kind of game to be around each other or something.
I mean, we do have four adventure games in a row, but I'm going to live with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Papers, Please. We've got Resident Evil Plays.
I don't think Mark has brought up his other game, Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, yeah.
We got to find a spot for that somewhere.
It's a better zombie game than Resident Evil 7.
Is it?
It has a Michael Jackson thriller zombie. That's all you need to know.
Well, it probably has more zombie types. I would agree if you were there. I do think it's a really... I mean, I played the hell out of Plants vs. Zombies back when it was out.
I mean, honestly, I think it's like the last good PopCap game.
I mean, it's the one that stands the test of time as well compared to the other Plants vs. Zombies games.
Where one is literally about time travel. That's a dumb.
All right, let's put it at 86 for now.
Okay.
And we can figure out. Okay, let's look at some of these other things. So I've got Kerbal. I haven't put Kerbal anywhere right now. I'm going to put Kerbal ahead of Plants vs. Zombies. Because I just think it's a more, like, nobody talks about or thinks about Plants vs. Zombies anymore, other than, I guess, me. Us people.
Other
people
than like EA us, other trying than me, to...
who continually rails about Plants vs. Zombies 2 on, you know, PC version.
Sure, but that's really, I mean, that franchise is dead. I feel like Kerbal Space Program is still very much in the conversation, in the zeitgeist.
Well,
I mean,
it helps, too, that Take-Two bought it. And put it into their private division label, and I think they're making a second one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So that has kept it in the conversation.
Okay, so there are a couple of games here that are super low. So we've got like Dragon Quest XI, which is a fantastic, you know, it's the classic Dragon Quest game that you've always wanted, but on a modern console in a modern art style, super high production values, an insane amount of game.
Oh, God. It goes on forever. I mean, I love the characters in the game as well, and the British voice acting a lot of times is corny, but it actually works really well in this game, and it actually makes Eric the only one that isn't stand out as like just comes off as weird or you know the obviously the Toriyama art style is still beautiful. And. And if you play it on Switch, you get the better orchestral version, and hey, you get to take a huge ass game with you on the go wherever you want. I mean, that's what you want of an RPG.
Having the orchestral soundtrack to me, I mean, of course, there's also like there's like another 20 hours of content that they added.
Yeah, but, it just sucked that the PS4 version, the guy that's in charge of all their soundtracks is like got a problem with letting his soundtrack be redone versions be sent overseas, so like you didn't get that, and it was annoying to hear the same songs over and over. And then of course it helps a lot that the Switch version they were able to get that in.
I mean, you still hear the same songs over and over, they just sound better because it's not
but I feel like each of the towns actually has their own theme instead of in the PS4 version they really didn't.
So better than Plants vs. Zombies, I would say. Is it better than Kerbal Space Program?
No.
Okay. All right, where should What Remains of Edith Finch go? I don't want to cluster it with all these other adventure games.
I think it can go a little higher above Dragon Quest as well. I think it's one of the top two or three of those walking simulators. I mean, it's... I think... it helped Annapurna get a even much bigger name than it already was publishing indie titles. And it just has such a special story that I feel like more than Firewatch or more than Gone Home or more than some of these others. Like if I were to tell you, go play a walking sim and you're like, but walking sims, they're boring or they're whatever. I don't get them. I feel like this one, you're going to understand his story and you're going to be enthralled by it by the end.
Yeah. It's on my pile of shame, but yeah, I haven't. I know you and...
Hey, it's a short game. So you can knock it out quick.
Afternoon?
Yeah.
All right. The next thing I've got on the list here at 86 is Far Cry 3.
Oh, that's
got
to go way higher.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'm just going to move this out and put it where Far Cry 4 was. And we won't worry about it right now.
Okay.
All right. BioShock, we've dealt with. All right. Goose Game.
Yeah, Untitled Goose Game. I know you love this game. I did too.
I do.
Just playing as the goose is so fun. And like, they could have just mailed it in, right? He could have just been... oh, he does stuff and it's funny. It could have been another goat simulator or whatever, but they added so much love and like little intricacies to how you move the goose around and what he does and just freely honking and flapping your wings and all those kinds of things. It's like when the biggest complaint you have about that game is that it's, you don't get enough time with the goose, you know, you did something right.
It's too short, but in every other way. just so charming, made that kind of puzzle stealth gameplay accessible and unfrustrating and fun. And yeah, of course, the concept itself is what really, you know, made that game blow up. So I feel it probably should be a little bit higher. I'm going to put it above Kerbal for now. So let's see. How do we feel about Cuphead at 81?
You can move it down a little bit. I mean, again, okay. Like, Cuphead is just such a special game. It's like Studio MDHR, they took all that time to specially animate those scenes, and it took them so long for that game to come out, and then it comes out and it delivers on everything you wanted it to. That soundtrack is tremendous. Like, all those characters are so unique, and those boss battles are, like, they're each memorable for their own thing. I didn't get to finish it because they wouldn't let you finish the game on easy mode because, yeah, some of these boss battles get ridiculous after a while. But playing that game in co-op is so much fun. Like, there's just a lot to love about Cuphead, but I don't know. I feel like there's just something about Goose Game and Kerbal that they're just a little better.
Okay, so... All right, I'm going to just move it down like four slots down to 85. What do you guys think? Like,
okay, that's fine.
Actually, you know what? Yeah. So it's now between Dragon Quest and Plants vs. Zombies for you listeners.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing, since we've moved some stuff up, we're going to have to move some other games into here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of trying to think about what games we can move down.
Yeah, like, we haven't talked about Rock Band 3 yet, but it can go in this area.
Right, yeah, we do. Rock Band 3 should probably be, like, near the top of the bottom 25, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll just put it at the top for now, and then we'll see if anything goes above it. I'm looking at the top, I'm looking at, 50 to 75. Just kind of thinking about what can move down. And I'm thinking, as much as I love Super Hot, I feel like maybe Super Hot can move down.
Mark, what do you think?
I mean, I liked it, but I thought it got a little repetitive after a while. And, you're just kind of doing the same, you're just doing the same things over and over again. Just look around, find whatever item you need, and then kind of go to town on whatever enemies appear.
I mean, but the going to town is so good, right? Like, turning slow-mo kind of bullet time into a combat puzzle. And they are actually, I don't think it's that, there are interesting challenge modes that you unlock after you finish the main game. Of course, VR is really good, but I feel it should. Yeah,
I remember I had at least I think like two levels that glitched out on me in like really funny ways. Where I had one level where I was in a parking garage and I killed all enemies except for one, and the only item that was left somehow got wedged under the car.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy kept trying to run to the car, and he just kept running around the car. And I was just watching this and going, this is pretty funny.
It's just kind of crazy to me where it's really high. We've got it at 62 right now. It's above Brothers, it's above Wolf Among Us, above Overwatch even, above Bayonetta 2. I just think it hangs much more in the Untitled Goose Game kind of area.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll put it at the top of this list right now. Okay, we've got Tokyo Mirage Session at 79.
I would move that up a little.
Up a little. How about above?
Put it at that 76 spot.
Yeah. That makes sense. Above Rock Band 3 and Super Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then we've got at 82, South Park Stick of Truth. Seems like it's probably a little bit better than that. I'm actually surprised we didn't move that one out of the bottom 25. to be honest.
It's good, but I mean, it's very much like my first RPG. There's not a ton of new.
Yeah, I mean, it's got mechanics. That old school style turn-based combat, which is not bad. It's good. I mean, Dragon Quest is the same thing. But I think also it's just that story is much like Dragon Quest is your traditional RPG story. Here we go. He's the luminary and his mom had to drop him off with this, like she got attacked and he had to get dropped off at this town, and then his town gets destroyed. And so now he's off to find out what's going on. Like South Park, like makes fun of all those things. And then also is South Park on top of it. Like it's basically an episode of South Park with even more extreme and crazy stuff. And it's like, I don't know how many times I played that game and I was like, oh my God, I hope my daughter doesn't walk in while I'm playing this. Like it's like, you know, but to the point where like the second game was not even, you know, thought of for this list because this one was just very memorable and I felt like I was in that world. I felt lost in South Park. And that's for somebody who doesn't watch it all that often. And I really enjoyed it. Right. And it's a licensed game that, how many times did we say licensed games suck? And this one was great.
And not just that, South Park games suck, right? Like,
yeah.
This is the first good South Park game that I can think of. So we've got, you know, I'm kind of come to think of it. So we've got South Park Stick of Truth at 82, and we've got Forza Horizon 83. Both of those should probably be higher. Both of those could have probably moved out of the bottom 25, even in my mind, but maybe we just kind of put them like at the top of the pile. Mark, do you want to make a case for Forza Horizon?
I just think it's a good racing game. Like, a very good like, it still has some simulation stuff in it, but it just, I mean, you could pretty much go in any car and, you know, do well at it.
Would I, as somebody who cannot deal with Forza tuning and, like, all the car fetishism stuff and, like, all the simulation stuff, like, it's an open-world racer more like, right?
Yeah, I mean, that actually is still there if you do want to do it, but you don't have to.
Okay.
And, this is, like, Forza Horizon 4 right now, but, like, I mean, like, there are some specific jumps I need to hit in like certain cars, and I can just go buy a tuning setup, which is really nice. But that's not this game. I think it has like a fantastic world. I think it's still the best driving world in a Horizon game. It actually has like somewhat of a story, which is nice because the other ones don't. Great soundtrack. Yeah, it's just all around fun.
Okay. So you'd probably want that above. I don't think I can, you know, I still feel like Rock Band 3 is probably a better. I mean, how do you compare this? Apples and oranges, right?
Well, one started a franchise, one ended it.
Well, Rock Band, it didn't quite end the franchise. I mean, that the whole genre.
It put it in like a dormant, we're there, but not really.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't really have it above. I'd be fine with it being above Goose Game, but I wouldn't really want it above. How about this? Let's just grab South Park Stick of Truth and Forza Horizon and just move them both up three slots, like kind of to the bottom 70s.
Yeah.
Like 79, 80.
Uh-huh.
And that would actually. Okay, so we've talked about Tokyo Mirage Sessions. Actually, we haven't really talked about Tokyo Mirage.
I don't think we have, actually.
But we've got it at the top right now. Do we like it at the top?
I'm fine with it there.
I never played it.
Yeah. So it's just a really good,
And you will probably really enjoy it if you do when it comes to Switch in a few days.
Yeah, place the pre-order now while you still can.
Yeah, it's got one of the most fun battle systems out there.
Yeah, Walmart does have it for cheaper.
And, like, it has its own, like, terrific soundtrack. It's a lot more Persona than Fire Emblem, I would say, without the, you know, that Persona flair, but it has its own
feel to it. It's got its own mood.
Yeah, it's
I really
a certain
like the
mood.
I like the music industry setting. I generally like the very lighthearted.
Yeah, the idol setting.
Yeah, It's got a great art style. I mean, it's not as stylish as a Persona game, but it's got a great art style all its own.
Yeah, I mean, I for being summons. On the Wii U,
summons are amazing.
It was an absolute, like, total sleeper. Like, it came out, and it had, because Nimbus was, it was a much bigger, it had much more ties to Persona. And remember, the original game was, like, Persona Cross Fire Emblem, or something like that, mm-hmm. right? And then they almost removed almost all the Persona stuff. They kept the dungeons and some of the way, like, that they move around the town. And the Fire Emblem stuff almost mostly disappeared as well. And so it just came out, and then it was still a big hit. And I remember loving it for my Wii U, being like, wow, here's this game. Didn't think much of it. And then all of a sudden, I was absolutely surprised when now that they're remastering it. And I was like, yes, can't believe it, but it's here. And a lot of people should go check it out.
Okay, well, all right. It sounds like we're pretty comfortable with it being top of this list we did today.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, that was, you know what? That was quick and painless. I think we've got our list together.
All right, so since we talked about all the games already, I'm just going to read it off and then knock us out of here. So at 76, or we'll actually should go bottom to top, I guess. So 100 is Detroit Become Human. 99 is Halo Reach. 98 is Wolfenstein The New Order. 97 is Player Unknown Battlegrounds. Number 96 is Crusader Kings 2. Endless Legend is at 95. Walking Dead, Telltale's Walking Dead Season 1 is at 94. Bioshock 2, 93. Luigi's Mansion 3, 92. Life is Strange, 91. Papers, Please is at 90. Doki Doki Literature Club, 89. Return of the Obra Dinn, 88. Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, 87. Plants vs. Zombies, 86. Cuphead, 85. Dragon Quest XI, 84. What Remains of Edith Finch, 83. Kerbal Space Program, 82. Untitled Goose Game, 81. Forza Horizon, 80. South Park Stick of Truth, 79. Rock Band 3, 78. Super Hot, 77. And Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Sharp Fire Emblem is 76. And we'll be doing 75 to 50 on the next episode. So we'll get half the list done whenever we get to do that one. And yeah, just the next one after that will be 49 to 26. And then we'll get the 25 to number one.
It'll only get harder from here.
Yep, certainly. So I don't know if Randy O'Daniel will join us again for any of these, depending on when we do them. But hopefully at least the three of us will be here to do it. And if you like what you heard, you can always hit subscribe. You'll get all of these. Plus, you can go back and listen to our top tens for each year if you're just joining us on this for some reason. And also, you know, Mark and I, and sometimes Jens as well, do regular episodes each week talking about the news that's going on, games we're playing. Like I'm reviewing my first game of 2020. Mark has also got one in for 2020 as well. Still waiting to hear on a few more. And maybe you'll hear us talk about that later, you know, this week when we do our regular episode. We, you know, talk about the upcoming games and more going on. So make sure you listen for that. And yeah, review if you can. And until next time, see you later, everybody.
To women who hoped to evade the ticking clock of time, Dr. Frederick Brandt was the most potent drug dealer in the world. And the dealer got high on his own supply. From Imperative Entertainment and the team behind Broken Hearts comes a new series that will challenge everything you know about fame, fortune, and the fear of growing old. I'm Justine Harmon, and this is The Baron of Botox.